Welcome to Season 2 of Convos with QVIC, a podcast where queer community leaders at the University of Victoria talk about their queer identities, coming out, resources for queer residents and students, and all things LGBTQ+ related. I'm Senior Community Leader Joe, and I'll be your host, along with a wide variety of special guest CLs. Before we get started, we just wanted to acknowledge and respect the Lekwungen peoples on whose traditional territory the University of Victoria stands on, and the Songhees, Esquimalt, and Wasanich people whose historical relationship with this land continues to this day, and also to recognize that we live, work, and play on unceded territory that is not ours. Hello and welcome back to Convos with QVIC. For our 9th episode, we're going to be talking about top surgery with special guest SCL Narissa from the Towers neighborhood.
Hello, Narissa. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Narissa. I use they, them pronouns, and I am the senior community leader for the Towers neighborhood and also help with QVIC.
Dang, and what are we going to be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about accessing trans care in BC from like a narrative perspective, mm-hmm. I guess. I was able to get top surgery just over 2 months ago and also able to start accessing hormones around the same time. So I just wanted to talk about my experience. Mm-hmm. Like how that works and what the great parts were and also what the tough kind of roadblock parts were. I mean, I guess I'll just go kind of chronologically.
Sure, yeah.
So you have to, the wildest part was I wasn't out to my GP. I'm one of those people who's lucky enough to have a GP, I feel mm-hmm. first of all, but I wasn't out to my GP. So to start getting on any wait lists, I had to have this doctor's appointment where I was hi. And she's hi, what do you, what brings you here? And I was I guess we need to start way back.
Here's my life story. Let me tell you.
Yeah, I'm hi, we've been talking about migraines, but today we're going to talk about gender. So that was definitely very intimidating. But my doctor rules, thank God. And she was just she was so sweet. She was like, oh, are you, let me know if your, name changes and, what are your pronouns? And then she updated my name and the, patient portal, which, I haven't changed my name, but my name now says, Narissa, and then in all caps, they, them, comma, trans.
That's so
which
good.
Which is so funny.
That should be your legal name now.
I think so. I think that's, I should just go to the driver's license place and be hi, please include my legal name to have pronouns. Which is so funny because now I know that everyone at the office, the doctor's office is able to see that. So mm-hmm. whenever I've had a few kind of awkward calls with the receptionist where I can tell that she's trying to tread very carefully. Anyways.
Do you go to a doctor at UVic?
I don't.
Or one back home?
No, I go to my GP back home. So the first kind of step is you have to do for both hormones and surgery, you have to do what's called a readiness assessment.
Okay.
Which is, I don't know, I was very intimidated going into it because honestly I was I don't know if I'm ready, and mm-hmm. I felt I was gonna have to prove my case almost to someone. So I feel they should change the name and not call it a readiness assessment. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I got really lucky in that my counselor was able to do that assessment for me.
Oh, okay.
So they have kind of two processes. So TransCare BC, the kind of, I don't know, institution mm-hmm. that is TransCare BC, will refer you to someone who will do it for free. Or if your doctor or counselor has had a specific kind of training, then they can do it for you. So that was really nice.
So what is this is it a form? What are the questions on it?
Yeah, it's a form that they have to fill out. So they asked me, my counselor asked me questions about my gender, which I was bold of you to assume I know anything about my gender. So, you know, questions about like, how do you identify it? I was really worried about that part because I was worried that like, if I had any like kind of, I guess, doubt or like confusion or ambiguity in my answer, that they were going to be like, no, like mm-hmm. no care for you. But that wasn't the case, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. And I was able to just be kind of like very vague with my explanation of mm-hmm. my gender. The biggest part that the like readiness assessment focused on, which was a big relief for me, was just like the logistics of getting care. So like for surgery, they wanted to know like who was going to be picking me up at the hospital mm-hmm. and like, did I have someone to stay with? And like, did I have, you know, if I didn't have someone to stay with, like, was I going to be able to like prep meals for myself ahead of mm-hmm. time? So that felt really nice because I was like, oh, like they're not, you know, are you like emotionally, like spiritually ready for this? It was like, you know, do you have everything figured out? And if you don't, like, how can we help you get it mm-hmm. figured out? It took maybe half an hour too.
Okay.
So yeah, way less daunting than I thought.
Okay, and then what's the next step after you get this like readiness assessment done?
Then you do a lot of waiting. I feel like that's the biggest, that was probably one of the hardest parts of the process for me, was just like, there's a lot of waiting and, hey, your name is on a wait list mm-hmm. like somewhere, and you don't necessarily know at this exact moment like how far along on the wait list you are, and kind of waiting for someone to call you. So once you get the surgical readiness assessment, it goes back to your like kind of primary care provider, and then they refer you. So for surgery, they refer you to TransCare BC, and they hold like a centralized waiting list.
Okay.
So like anyone who's waiting for top surgery goes on this waiting list,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of one by one they make their way down the list and they call you and they ask you what surgeon you want, which cool. I was not, I guess I kind of knew that happened, but I wasn't mm-hmm. like fully prepared for, because I like got a call and they're like, hey, like, you know, this is TransCare, and I was like ready to do cartwheels.
Yeah.
I was with my friend and I was like jumping up and down, and she was like, is this the call? And I was like, it's the call. Like, this is it. Yeah. They asked me, they're like, do you have a specific surgeon in mind? And I just said, I was like, whoever will get it done the fastest. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, like, where do you want to have surgery? And I was like, that's a choice. And so they gave me the choice between, like, I was like, well, I go to school in Victoria, but like my parents are in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And so they listed out like the wait times for all of the surgeons mm-hmm. in Victoria versus in Vancouver. The shortest wait time at the time in Victoria was going to be like 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And the shortest wait time in Vancouver was going to be 1 to 3 months.
Okay.
So I was like, this is a clear choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I got that call, I was super adamant that I was going to have surgery in Victoria. I was like, well, this is where I live. Like, I don't want to travel. I don't know. I was really lucky to be able to stay with my family too and like have that option. Once you get that like magical call from TransCare asking you like whose waitlist you're on, then they like refer you to that surgeon's office and you wait a little bit more. Then you get a call from your surgeon's office to schedule a consult with your surgeon. So I only had to wait about a month after that like magical TransCare call to get a consult. And so I had to go to Vancouver for that. And I was terrified because like, once again, I was like, I feel like they're gonna like look at me and be like, no, like you're not trans enough or like, no, like you don't deserve this. And then also it was just like all of the logistics of like, oh, I have to start like telling people about this now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, when people are like, oh, why are you going back to Vancouver? It's like, oh, what? Like, how? Okay. It's like, oh, I have a doctor's appointment. And they're like, oh, aren't doctor's appointments all virtual now? And I'm like, Oh, not this one.
At this point, were you already on hormone?
Not yet.
Okay.
No, I started hormones on September 10th of this year. My consult was on August 18th. Of this year.
Okay. Is like the top surgery and the hormones kind of just like two separate journeys almost?
Yeah, two separate journeys. The only thing for me, I was lucky when I did my like readiness assessment, my counselor was able to do the like surgery and hormone readiness assessment at the same time.
Cool.
Yeah, which was so nice because it's, I guess, like very similar questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then my, so yeah, like I guess backing up back in July, my GP referred me to an endocrinologist.
Yes.
So at this point, like, while I'm going through the top surgery process, I'm also just, like, waiting for my endocrinologist to call me.
Yeah. Lots of spicy phone calls.
Oh, so many phone calls. When I got the call from my doctor that my, like, endocrinologist appointment had been scheduled, I got it from, like, my GP's office. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those times, like, the receptionist was so excited for me. It was so funny. Like, oh my gosh. It was so cute. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. We love some supportive receptionists.
Yeah. And I, because of COVID, like, I've never even met this receptionist in person. Like, I have no idea who this person is, but she just calls me and she's like, did you hear that, like, you got an appointment? I was like, no. So that was cool.
Oh, so sweet.
Kind of jumping back to, so my consult for surgery, I went to Vancouver and I had to drive out to Burnaby to my surgeon's office. Yeah, I was terrified. I had to fill out, I want to say, like, 15 pages of forms beforehand, which I didn't realize was going to happen, like, on this day. They were like, oh, you'll fill out forms. And I thought it was going to be, like, you know, your classic, like, one page, like, what is your name?
Yeah.
But it turns out, like, these were the surgery forms.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, like, asking me, the forms were, like, asking me about what medications I was on now, which I knew, but then it was also, like, which medications have you been on, like, in the past 6 months? And I was like, oh,
damn.
Like, really having to, I was, like, searching through my phone for, like, pictures from the pharmacy.
Yeah,
and then I got to meet with my surgeon. My surgeon was Dr. McKee, who I later found out is kind of seen as this, like, hero in the, like, BC trans community.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he only does top surgery. It is the only procedure. And so he just does, I don't know, probably over 10 a week, maybe more. And he
that's
just, like,
crazy.
Yeah.
The man's got experience.
The man has got experience. Everyone also loves him, too. I found out because he's one of the only surgeons in BC who doesn't do drains for the procedure.
Okay, so I guess, so what, like, does that mean?
Yeah, I guess, like, traditionally in top surgery, you have to have these, like, these drains in your chest for, like, a week or two after surgery.
Okay.
That, like, I guess, collect fluid and stuff after surgery, and apparently they suck.
Okay.
My surgeon didn't have them, so I just didn't have to deal with that.
I love
that.
That
was cool.
Okay, yeah.
At my consult, it was maybe, like, 20 minutes that I spent with him, and I brought my mom with me, which was really nice. We just kind of went over what to expect and, like, what the procedure was. We talked about whether or not I wanted nipples. You can, like, get your nipples tattooed on afterwards.
That's so fun.
I know. I don't have any tattoos, but I would really love to, like, meet the tattoo artists who just, like, specialize in nipples. I just want to, like, know so much about that.
Straight up. Like, that's such, like, a highly detailed part of the body that you're recreating now on scar tissue.
And I've looked at, like, pictures, and they look real.
Crazy.
Like, it's amazing. Okay. So I got nipple grafts, so I don't have nipple tattoos.
Why did you decide to do the graft instead of the tattoo?
Yeah, I like the part of the, like, graft that appealed to me the most was, like, I guess being able to have, like, texture or, like, three dimensions to it. Like, it felt just more correct for me, I guess. I was definitely a little worried because, like, it's an additional procedure, so there's, like, additional risks for complication.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just kind of knew it was what I wanted and what was right.
Totally.
It wasn't necessarily, like, a rational or, like, logical decision.
Sometimes, yeah, you just know what is right for you.
And yeah.
Like, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And it was one of those things, too, where I was, like, my brain had decided it was right, and I was, like, you know what? I'm not going to question this. Like, I'm already, like, having to do so much other, like, self-discovery. Yeah. Like, don't need to do self-discovery about my nipple.
Damn. No, I love that. That's straight up some wisdom for life.
I think we found the episode title.
Self-discovery about nipples.
About nipple. And then, like, at the consult, we'd, like, gone over everything and all the details. And then I had a list of questions for him. And one of my questions was, like, when am I going to find out the date for my surgery? And it had been so much, like, the whole process has been so much, like, waiting on wait lists and just, like, waiting for someone to call you. Yeah. I expected it would be that. And he, the man pulled pulls out his phone, opens his Google Calendar, and he's like, let's choose a date.
Which, Mans is on it. He's like, let's go.
And I guess he had a cancellation. His earliest date was literally a week later.
Oh my God.
And when I was in the car with my mom driving to the consult, my mom asked me, she was like, okay, so if you get the chance to choose a date today, she was like, when is your ultimate time? And I was like, well, obviously the ultimate time is like the earliest I can do it.
Yeah.
And my mom was just like, okay. And I was like, the earliest.
Yeah.
And so when he said, he was like, it's next week. I was like, should I do it? And my mom just looks at me. She's like, why don't you hear what other dates he has too?
Yeah.
And I was so glad to have that mom wisdom because I scheduled it for a month after the consult. Mm-hmm. So September 23rd was when I had surgery. That was really nice because it did give me, as much as I wanted to be like, I need this as soon as possible,
yeah,
like having a month gave me time to like get prepared and like,
yeah,
talk to my teachers and figure out all that.
Yeah, and not have to do it like right in the midst of CL training as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it was like a week where I was going to be working like over 60 hours that week.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh,
maybe not this week.
Yeah, part of me was like, I could just like cause some chaos, but no, I'm really glad that I didn't do it.
Yeah. So what was the process like getting ready for the surgery?
It was a lot of mentally preparing myself. Mm-hmm. I think honestly was like the biggest part. I was really worried about like making sure I had all the right supplies and stuff. My surgeon was really great though, and he gave me like a very detailed list of like, this is what you are going to want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part was easy. It was kind of like, well, I went to Shoppers once and then it was done.
Yeah. What are some examples of stuff?
Yeah. A lot of it was like special types of like different types of band-aids to have afterwards, band-aids and like polysporin. And he suggested that you have like gravel on hand because some people, I luckily didn't get nauseous after surgery, but I guess a lot of people do.
Okay.
Just like anesthesia in general is like not really enjoyed by a lot of bodies.
Fair. Very fair.
Fair enough. Things like having Advil and Tylenol were on the list. There were some things that weren't on the list that I was really happy I had. I had one of those like neck travel pillows.
Nice.
That was a lifesaver. My first couple weeks after surgery, I did a lot of like falling asleep sitting up. Very tired.
Yeah, very fair. Your body went through a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was also just like talking to like my teachers and to like my supervisor at work to just like figure out taking time off. And luckily, like all of my teachers were so nice. They were like, take as long as you need on extensions, like as was work too.
Very nice.
Day of the surgery, September 23rd, I had gone home to Vancouver the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed, or I was told I wasn't allowed to eat or drink anything as of like midnight the night before surgery.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which, yeah, you gotta have that empty stomach. I'm someone who gets very grumpy when I'm hungry. and like not eating regularly is also like a massive migraine trigger for me.
Mm.
I was, out of like all of the surgery things, one of the things I was most anxious about was like not eating breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
So I stayed up and like had a huge meal at like 11:45 p.m.
Nice.
My mom and I stayed up watching like Survivor and like soap operas.
I love that. What a good like pre-surgery
meal. It was really nice. And then I slept maybe 3 hours because I was very anxious.
Yeah, fair.
Which was fine. And so when I got to the surgery facility, or I want to say it was around like 8 a.m. and they had told me like, okay, you're gonna have to wait about 2 hours until surgery itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited and just kind of sat around being like anxious. There was a really funny moment where they gave me like the kind of gown and cap and booties to like put on. And I like figured out how to put, well, no, I didn't even figure out how to put the gown on. I put the gown on and it like felt wrong. And I was like, oh, I guess it's just weird. And the nurse came in to like check on me and she was like, you have that on backwards. Like that is not correct.
That is so funny.
And then the cap, the like the hair cap went on super easy. I was like, that's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
The booties, like the shoe things, I just couldn't figure out how to put them on. And so I just kind of like draped them over my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the nurse came in. She's like, okay, it's going to be like 15 minutes until we take you in for surgery. And I looked at her and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm so stupid, but I can't get these on my feet. And she like looks at me and she looks like just so pitiful. And she shows me that I have to like unfold them. So
are they just like almost like bags that you put
on
your
feet? Just little feet bags.
Okay, cool.
I was trying to just step on top of it, I guess.
Yeah, that wouldn't do anything.
And I felt so dumb and I like put them on and I had this moment where I was like, they're gonna think I'm too dumb to get surgery. I was like, someone's gonna come in and be like, I don't know how you like passed all these requirements, but you're just like too much of a himbo to get surgery. Luckily that did not happen.
I love it.
Then like the nurse came into the room like 15 minutes later and she was like, okay, it's time. And so I like walked with her into the surgery suite, I guess, and like laid down. And I had met with my surgeon and also the anesthesiologist.
We can English, right?
We can English just fine. I literally study science. I should know that word.
Probably.
Fourth year of a bio degree. The anesthesiologist and all, I like met them all before, which was nice. So they were kind of like, oh, hey, like, nice to see you again. And then they knocked me out, the surgery thing.
How was being knocked out?
Yeah, I had never had surgery before of any kind. I've never been like under anesthesia before.
I also have not, so I have no idea.
So I was super anxious. Yeah. And when I met the anesthesiologist before surgery, when he came in, he was like, do you have any questions? And I was just like, I mean, I've never done this before. Like, do you have any tips?
Yeah.
And he thought that was funny. I was like, this is a real genuine question. And his advice to me was just go with the flow. And I was like, I don't get it, but I like it.
Not very specific advice, but he tried.
No, and I found that very helpful advice during. So they started kind of just hooking things up to me and I was still awake. So they put on like a blood pressure cuff and they put these like things around my legs that like would squeeze my legs and then like unsqueeze.
Oh.
I guess to just like keep blood moving through my body. I was very interested. I wanted to like ask them and be like, what is the purpose of this? Like, can you tell me? And I was like, no, this is not the time.
Yeah. It's a later question.
Yeah. They like put an IV in. I'd also never had an IV before. Yeah. I didn't feel it go in. I think they put a like topical like numbing cream or something. I don't know. And then they were like, okay, like we're gonna give you something to like relax first and then like knock you out. I think he said it more eloquently than that. And so they put like a like mask on me. And then he was like, I guess they put something through my IV, I think, to like relax me. And I immediately my vision doubled. And I was like, ooh. And I was like scared, but I was just like, I was just repeating that like go with the flow mantra. Yeah. And so I was trying to just be like very like, I guess, meditative about it. I was like, this is cool. I was like, okay, so if I like look at the ceiling, I like see two of things. And then I guess I was out. I don't remember anything after that. When I woke up, because I was very worried about like waking up and I was worried about like not knowing where I was or whatever. Yeah. I heard, I guess, like the nurse in the recovery room just kind of like saying my name like over and over. And just being like, okay, like wake up, like time to wake up. And I guess because I like had that kind of, it felt like waking up from like a very groggy sleep, like a very good like final season sleep.
Yeah.
Because my first thought was I'm late for class.
Oh no.
I was just like, oh no, oh no. And so I was kind of like looking around and I had no idea where I was, but that didn't like concern me at all. I was just like, gotta get to class. And the nurse was like, you just had surgery. Whoa, like what? I was also really like, I thought I was gonna be really like loopy and out of it, and maybe I was for a bit and just like don't remember, but I felt like completely sober.
Okay.
Which surprised me. I was like, oh darn, like I want to like say something funny. I was talking with the nurses about like how they were overworked and like how like the like nurse shortage was really hard on them. We were having this like real serious conversation. What the hell is happening?
I thought I was gonna be drugged right now.
Yeah, I like came out. So afterwards, I don't know how long I was in the like recovery room, but I remember about like 20 minutes of it. And they like led me and they like helped me get dressed. And then they were like, all right, we're going to wheel you down to your mom. Like your mom's parked in the parking lot. Like, let's go.
Oh, you're good to go?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like, were you in pain at all? Or
I at that point felt barely any pain. I want to say maybe like 3 out of 10 pain, which I kept being like ready for the like pain to hit. I kept being like, okay, any minute now, like all the pain meds they gave me during surgery are gonna like wear off. And that never really happened. Mm-hmm. But they wheeled me down. They took me like down the elevator to my mom. Mm-hmm. And just like, they're like, here you go, like take your kid. My mom had brought like a pillow in the car, which was really really nice that I was kind of able to, like, hug over my chest.
Yeah. Did you have, I guess at that time, did you have, like, almost, like, phantom tits, you know, like, where you kind of felt that they were still there?
Kind of. They weren't? Yeah. I was reading a bunch about, like, people's experiences getting top surgery beforehand, because I was nervous and excited, and I read someone's experience, and they said, like, yeah, the minute I woke up, like, I felt my chest, and I felt that it was flat, and I was just, like, you know, so excited. Yes, I'm so excited for that moment. And so, like, when I woke up and she was like, yeah, like, you just got out of surgery, I, like, felt my chest, but it was so, like, bandaged, and there was so many layers of gauze that, like, didn't feel anywhere close to flat. Yeah. So it was like, and you have to keep your bandages on for, like, a week, right? So I was like, what if they, like, only did, like, a half job? Or so, yeah, not quite phantom tits in the, like, way of, like, a phantom, like, limb, but definitely, like, how much of this is band-aid and how much of this is my body?
Yeah. And so, yeah, what was the recovery experience like?
I spent a week at home after surgery with my parents, which was nice, and took 2 weeks total off of school and work. Mm. The first week was the hardest recovery-wise. Yeah. I wasn't in a lot of pain, but I was just so exhausted, which I'm someone who, like, loves to do things, like, 24/7, and so that was hard. I tried on, like, day three, I was like, I want to get out of the house. I told my mom, I was like, will you take me for a drive? And we, like, got in the car and we made it, like, 3 blocks away from home, and I realized that just, like, every bump on the road just, like, really hurt. Oh, shit. I was like, all right, turn around.
Yeah, we're going back.
I was so hunched over, I guess, just from, like, your body, like, will hunch to, like, protect your chest, I guess.
Okay.
So I was just kind of like the new hunchback of Notre Dame, like,
part two.
I think by like day 4 or 5, I was able to, like, go outside for, like, a very short walk. Definitely, like, this very slow, like, hunched over.
Yeah.
By the end of the week, my parents drove me back to Victoria, which was really nice. And I was able by that point to, like, do basic tasks. I was able to walk for, like, 10 minutes at a time, and I could, like, pour myself a bowl of cereal. Yeah. And, like, kind of enough to get by. By 2 weeks out, I was able to, like, walk pretty much as long as I wanted. And I had most of my, like, energy back. And it took until, like, 4 weeks after surgery to be able to, like, have anywhere close to my range of motion back.
Yeah. Was there any, like, care instructions you had to do when you had the bandages on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So for the first week, it was, like, do not touch it. Don't you dare touch it. And I was like, great, I can deal with that. After the first week, I went back for, so before coming back to Victoria, I went for, like, a follow-up appointment with my surgeon. Okay. And at that appointment, he, like, took off the bandages, and you also have to wear, like, a compression binder.
Yeah.
He took it all off, and he, like, checked it, and I got to, like, see my chest for the first time, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
After that, so for the, like, following 3 weeks, I had to do, I was only allowed to shower every other day, and I had to keep my, like, compression binder on the full, like, all of the time except for when I was showering.
Yeah.
And then I had to, it was pretty, like, simple. I had to put Polysporin on, like, my nipples, and then, like, put Band-Aids on my nipples. And they're very, like, they give you very specific instructions of, like, okay, when you're showering, like, don't let the shower, like, don't let the water directly, like, hit your nipples. You have to, like, let it hit your, like, shoulders and then, like, stream down. I was very worried that they were going to fall off. They didn't, though.
They
didn't. So that's good.
Yeah.
After a month, I was allowed to take off the compression vest and just, like, go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
I have this, like, silicone scar tape that I put on my scars that's supposed to, like, help them fade faster. And then I'm supposed to do, like, scar massage every day for, like, 5 minutes to, like, break up the scar tissue.
Cool.
Not gonna lie, it gets done, like, maybe every third day.
Yeah.
I should be better at that, but, you know, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting
there. What was the, like, emotion when you, like, when the bandages first came off?
The, like, very first time, it was just joy. And it wasn't this, like, very, like, overwhelming joy. Like, I was kind of expecting, I'd kind of built it up a bunch, and I was like, and it was just, like, it was kind of, like, peaceful. It was just like, yeah, this is nice. After that, I kind of had some, like, hard emotions the first couple of weeks when I was, like, going through and, like, able to shower and, like, look at my chest, because it was still, like, bruised and, like, it looked gross, because it was still healing, and mm-hmm. I knew that was going to happen, but I definitely had a few moments of like fear that it wasn't going to recover fully, yeah. and but it did. And now like every time I'm able to like look at my chest in the mirror, it's like just pure joy and like, oh, it makes me so happy, and it feels like a part of my body that feels like 100% like mine, and that rules. Yeah.
Looking back, like retrospectively, like how was the experience for you? Is there anything you would have done differently? Is there anything like that surprised you about the process?
I don't think there's anything I would have done differently. Mm-hmm. There wasn't really much that surprised me about the process, which I like. I felt very like well prepared for it. Transcare on their website has this like amazing step-by-step guide of what every step of the way looks like, mm-hmm. down to like, here are some things your surgeon might ask you at the consult, and like, here are some common questions on the like readiness assessment. Mm-hmm. And that was really lovely. I think like being able to have my friends involved in the process to like share in the joy with me was really mm-hmm. nice, and something I really like. I'd kind of said with my friends, okay, let's plan some like FaceTimes and stuff for when I'm recovering. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice to have had.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for any listeners that might be thinking about getting top surgery?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to like be afraid about it. I definitely mm-hmm. was very afraid that if I expressed my fear or like my doubts any point along the way, that it was just gonna like get taken away from me. Like I was like, they have a like blacklist and mm-hmm. they're gonna put my name on it. So I think like finding like a counselor or like friend who you can talk to and like be open about those fears is like a really mm-hmm. healthy thing. And I think too, just seeking out and like using resources. I'm in this like really great Facebook group of like trans folk in BC, and people will like share their experiences getting surgery. Nice. And people will be like, oh, like how did you like this surgeon? Or like, what are some tips and tricks? And that's really nice. Mm-hmm. So I guess like finding community and like being open about all of your emotions. Mm-hmm. Top surgery rules. And if you want to do it, you should do it. If you don't want to do it, then that's, you know, cool. But if you want to do it, do it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Narissa.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Convos with QVIC. Make sure you come back to check out our next episode. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, please let anyone on the QVIC staff know, either in person for UVic residents at our events, which are run from 6 to 8 p.m. on Sundays in the RUG, or message us on our Facebook or Instagram pages. See you around campus.